Sheila Fogarty on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
I will get back to your calls in a few moments, but first to Washington, where the US president, you know the one, Donald Trump, says his frustrations with the investigation into allegations of Russian election meddling forced him to revoke the security clearance of ex-CIA chief John Brennan. And John Brennan himself hasn't been backwards in coming forwards, either before the event or after the event, in his criticism recently of the president. Let's get more on this from Simon Marks, LBC's Washington correspondent. Oh, the irony, Simon, the president describing this man as erratic.
I mean, seriously, you can't make it up. This is a truly unprecedented move. How many times have we used that phrase by the President of the United States, Donald Trump? It was announced yesterday at the White House by White House Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders, although we know that it has been in the works for several weeks. Just to explain this whole issue of security clearances, if you have one and you're in a presidential administration, generally you're allowed to keep it. And theoretically, that means that you can continue accessing security briefings from intelligence officials. That rarely happens, but most importantly, it means that your successors can converse with you about all the issues that they are dealing with in a bid to try and secure your input and your professional advice, because you are cleared to receive the information that they are sharing. President Trump has turned all of that on his head, targeting one of his most prominent critics, the former CIA director John Brennan, as the first official, and there are others in the pipeline, but the first official that he is stripping of his security clearance. And Sarah Huckabee Sanders managed to keep a straight face as she explained why the president had decided to do this.
Any benefits that senior officials might glean from consultations with Mr. Brennan are now outweighed by the risks posed by his erratic conduct and behavior.
Erratic conduct and behavior that, of course, has everything to do with the fact that John Brennan is one of the most persistent and vocal critics of President Trump, and nothing to do with what would usually be the reason for removing someone's security clearance, namely that they have acted fast and loose with the nation's classified material. The message from John Brennan, printed in today's New York Times in an op-ed, President Trump's claims of no collusion with Russia, he writes in the New York Times today, are hogwash. And he took to MSNBC, the news channel here in America last night, to make it absolutely clear that this action by President Trump is not going to lead to any change in his behavior.
I've seen this type of behavior and actions on the part of foreign tyrants and despots and autocrats for many, many years. I never, ever thought that I would see it here in the United States.
And there was more.
Mr. Trump believes that this is going to lead me to just go away and be quiet. He is very badly mistaken.
But as I say, Donald Trump seems to be on a tear to remove security clearances from a whole slew of officials who have been publicly very critical of him. They include the former CIA director Michael Hayden, the former FBI director James Comey, fired, of course, infamously by Donald Trump just over a year ago, the former acting FBI director Andrew McCabe, and the former National Security Advisor Susan Rice, who served in the Obama administration. This is a remarkable attack on pivotal figures within the intelligence and national security infrastructure here by a president whose thin skin clearly doesn't tolerate the idea that they can go out there and criticize his actions publicly, but also, it should be said, Sheila, by a president who wanted to change the subject here in Washington, D.C., away from that book that you and I were talking about a little bit earlier this week by Omarosa Maginault Newman and the tapes that she insists exist of the president using racial epithets. And in that regard, he has very successfully changed the conversation here.
Quick word before you go on the trial of Donald Trump's former campaign manager, Paul Manafort, because I understand closing arguments in that trial are being heard. At the White House briefing where this was announced hadn't been scheduled. So is that a concerted effort to change the subject, do you think?
Well, they're going to have to go some to change that subject, possibly over the next few hours, because closing arguments...
Dead cat! Squirrel!
I think closing arguments have pretty much wrapped up there. So that that trial is going to the jury. Paul Manafort, Donald Trump's former campaign manager, and it is important to underscore he's not charged in connection with any kind of activities during the election campaign. This is all about financial irregularities and alleged money laundering that he engaged in before he signed on with Donald Trump. But that trial is going to the jury. Paul Manafort's lawyers offered no defence. They called no defence witnesses to testify in Paul Manafort's favour. That would suggest that the jury don't have an enormous amount to deliberate about here. They've simply got to decide whether they believe the prosecution or not. And it may well be that Paul Manafort is banking on some kind of a presidential pardon if he is indeed convicted, but he has not been convicted yet. One other brief thing worth mentioning here today, Sheila, is that 300 newspapers have come together to publish editorials today supporting the concept of a free press, which they, of course, also argue is under attack from President Trump. In their editorial today, the New York Times writes, criticising the news media for underplaying or overplaying stories for getting something wrong is entirely right. News reporters and editors are human and make mistakes. Correcting them is core to our job. But insisting that truths you don't like are fake news is dangerous to the lifeblood of democracy, and calling journalists the enemy of the people is dangerous, period.
None of this is having any effect, is it? Everybody's hanging their hat on Robert Mueller, and Robert Mueller could well find that Donald Trump is odd rather than criminal.
erratic, well, even.
Yeah, I mean, he's clearly odd, but, you know, erratic, but not criminal. I mean, is America even vaguely used to the idea? Well, OK, half of America, the bit that can't quite stomach Trump. Are they even remotely close to accepting he might be in for the long haul?
Look, I think that determination, and for many Americans that fear, but equally for many Americans that hope, will be made when we get through November. Because remember, we are now, what, just 8 or 10 weeks away from
the midterm elections
here. We've got Congress up for grabs. We've got the entire House of Representatives and one third of the Senate up for grabs in an election
and
that
the
is
pink
going
wave
to
coming,
be.
The pink wave coming, all those women standing for office.
The pink wave coming, President Trump insists there's a red wave coming. He insists that Republicans are going to triumph. The Wall Street Journal, normally supportive of Republican candidates, warned last week that they don't think that red wave is real, and they have grave fears that the Republicans are going to lose control of the House of Representatives and the Senate. I mean, the midterm elections here, and we'll be doing extensive coverage here on LBC of these elections, they're a referendum on President Trump's administration. If he wins,
more so than ever before?
Oh, I think far more, because the stakes now here, as you can tell from all the things we're reporting on a daily basis, are so high, and his behaviour is so unprecedented and authoritarian. If Republicans manage to hold on to their majorities in the House of Representatives and the Senate, supporters of President Trump will be deeply buoyed by that and will believe that he's on course to win re-election in 2020. If the Democrats win control, particularly of the House of Representatives, about 5 minutes later, they will immediately begin impeachment proceedings against this president. That's not in doubt if they win control of the House of Representatives, which is why November is going to be a big deal.
Thank you very much, Simon. Good to talk to you as always. Simon Marks, LBC's Washington correspondent.